While that's loading, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Eleanor Long. I work with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. I'm working within maternal, adolescent, and child health, and I am working collaborative across the country with 8 learning collaboratives around healthy weight for women. Thank you. And I do not have any financial relationships to disclose. Essentially, I've been doing focus groups for 2 years, 2 sets of focus groups, as part of this learning collaborative, bringing the results of what we're learning in Los Angeles to a national venue with the other learning collaboratives to try to figure out how to promote healthy weight, because nobody's doing it correctly, right? I mean, the numbers keep going up. So why are we addressing Latinas and African Americans? Because those are the 2 populations that are disproportionately affected by the obesity epidemic. We know all of the health implications. I don't have to teach you. You are public health. And as you know, the rise in obesity mirrors the rise in diabetes. So essentially what I'm going to give you today, and it's wonderful to come forth because so much of what's been said, I can just say, yes, that's what we found too. So the ages of the women that we worked with, they were all found in WIC clinics, and that's where you find low wage earning or low-income women. They were young, mostly between 22 and 33. The Latinas were a little bit older. The African Americans were a little younger and much better educated. We had as much as 35% of the Latinas not having a high school degree. I'll say that again, 35%. Had not graduated from high school, whereas some of the African Americans had college. So as you can see in this slide. Now, I'm going to just jump right into what we found out. The first year we did 11 focus groups. 6 of them were in Spanish, 5 were in English. And we had English focus groups with second generation Latinas. And all of the 6 Spanish-speaking focus groups were, of course, first-generation Latinas. Now, the first year, we found that knowledge about healthy eating and the necessity of exercise was extremely high. We found that consistently through the 2 years. Of course, they were at WIC. WIC does a wonderful job. So we need to get all of our low-income populations into WIC if they qualify. However, in the first year, what we heard was they knew the facts, but, and then they were always telling us why they weren't acting on what they knew. So why did they not exercise? Well, it wasn't safe in the neighborhood. Why weren't they in the parks? Well, the parks weren't safe. There weren't enough of them, et cetera, et cetera. However, the second year, we began to find out that these barriers, once we introduced within the focus group, what we heard was, you know, that's not really a barrier. You know, the safety's improved. I really can get to my park. That's really an excuse. So what I had my interns, I have 7 MPH interns, currently, and through each of the summers, I had about 6 that were doing these focus groups. And what, as soon as we heard that, we debriefed every week. Once we heard, maybe these aren't barriers, maybe these are just excuses, then we reframed it in the new focus groups and said, is this really a barrier for you, or is it more of an excuse? And consistently, we heard the second year, these were just excuses. Interesting, so just be aware. Also, the parks, we've been working with the parks for a year, And the perception, and with police, and the perception of safety in these neighborhoods has gone up considerably, which is great. Now, what I heard, what we found was a difference between the Latinas and the African Americans. The Latina neighborhoods have vendors on the street corners, and they are selling fruits. The Latinas report daily, or at least every, you know, 3 to 5 times a week that they're eating fruits. That's not true for the African Americans. They don't eat fruits daily, as you can see. Also, there was more vegetables consumed among the Latinas, but it was increasing among the African Americans too. This is, I think, at the crux of it. I think we were talking about theories of change. I really think that we have a population that is happy with their body size. Even when they self-categorize themselves as being overweight, I remember one African-American who was weighing, I'm 5'3", and she was weighing less than I weighed, but I'm on the borderline of being overweight according to the BMI, it's okay? What we found with the African-American population was they didn't trust the BMI table. And during the next year after that, I see somebody shaking their head, yes, we started investigating that. And the other thing that we heard the first year was that they didn't trust the African-American, they didn't trust their provider if he was Caucasian. What I found by delving into that during that year is they may be on to something. It may be that the BMI table for African Americans is not appropriate. The BMI table that is currently used as a standard was developed with Caucasians. What is true, according to what we're finding out, is there's more weight in the bones. There are longer extremities. So if you're carrying your weight, excuse me for being my own model, but if you're carrying your weight here and here, and you're not carrying your weight through here, then you're not building a risk, the risk of diabetes, heart disease, and everything that's associated with fat through the trunk. So I challenge you, let's work together on this. If it needs to be that the providers, in order to gain credibility, use the appropriate tools, then I think across the United States we need to work on this. If providers need to be educated that there's a different tool that should be applied to that population, they need to be applying it because they're losing credibility with their populations. Okay, so they're happy with the way they look. Anyway, this young lady in the group that I was in was weighing perfectly according to the BMI table, and she was very unhappy with the way that her weight. She wanted more heft. So interesting. What can I say? So why are we addressing this? We're addressing it nationally. The CDC AmChip and CityMatch has a national learning collaborative around healthy weight for women of reproductive age because of the problems of overweight with maternal outcomes. So what we did in Los Angeles to decide to work on messaging not only for consumers but for providers, we also working within worksite wellness because where are women? They are at the worksite. So if we can get their support systems in place and get healthy behaviors at the worksite, then we have a chance. The barriers fell apart in the second year. What we did after the first year was we created this as a tool to work with the second year. This, and of course it's available for all of you to use, and I really want you to use it. Here are the 10 proven strategies to maintain a healthy weight. So all of the 10 things that they need to be doing to establish a healthy weight for themselves, it's in a checklist. Yes, you're doing it, or no, you're not doing it. Then the rest of this brochure talked about the barriers. You know, I know what's healthy, but, you know, I can't exercise, or fast food has to be in my day. Now, it's interesting. Everybody totally, completely, we're all on the same place on this. We need to be working with Taco Bell, McDonald's, et cetera, et cetera. We need to get lower sodium, less fat, healthy choices, and we need to get it at a price point so that it becomes the option, because fast food is in their lives, I guess, to stay. What we also heard, especially with second-generation Latinas, they saw their mother or their grandmother in the kitchen, but they were never invited in. We need to have cooking classes for these populations, culturally appropriate. We need to be changing those recipes to be comfort food, but healthy. As I said, this addresses the barriers which kept falling away. So even though the messages address the barriers, what needs is social support, worksite wellness, activities in the park. We found that the Latinas were in the parks, the African Americans weren't. Also, we found this thing about, oh, there's not healthy food in my neighborhood, I don't have a grocery store. Well, in Los Angeles, in the low-income areas, there's lots of Latina markets opening up. But if there's a Ralph or a traditional store that closes, then what we heard was, I lost my grocery store, even though three replaced it. The African Americans were not inside that store. So I need to work with the owners of these Latina markets to make sure that they hire people from the African American population, so that they feel welcome. Maybe even have some work with the churches to get some little tours into, show them the $3 for $1, you know, produce and the beautiful produce that they have in these Latino markets. That's where our education has to go. So, essentially, I've talked about all this. Most African Americans did not see the cost as a true barrier, and the Latinos agreed. However, the Latinos were using mass transit. So if the grocery store was some ways away, the African American would hop in the car and go and shop. Not a problem. Did not perceive it as a problem, but the Latinos did, because they had to carry it on the bus. So they're not cooking. They don't know how to cook. I mean, you know, I'm generalizing, but this is really something that we've got to address. Very little exercise. Now, this is the biggest thing, I believe, is, and it was brought up in your data. Inactivity is increasing in alarming ways. In the control group, you doubled the amount of time that the kids were inactive. So this is huge. We've got to have some social support networks to improve. We got to get cooking classes in culturally appropriate settings, and we've got to address motivation. We've got to get them from pre-contemplation to contemplation. We've got to frame it, do it for your family, be a good role model. We got to realize that we got to change. We got to address the stages of change, get them from pre-contemplation, and make it convenient, increase their skills, build on existing activities. You know, some of the interventions that were described up here, these are expensive interventions. Huge. Three times a week for 3 hours with the kids. So we have got to do this much less expensively. Okay, our partners in Los Angeles, huge collaborative, would love to work with you, would love for you to use our tools, give us feedback on them. Let's address this obesity together. Thank you.
There'll be time for questions after this last presenter, so you can get her information from her then.